Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. It is Wednesday, and that means it is time for another visit from our Medical Officer of Health, Dr. Lena Lee. Dr. Lee, welcome back to Lake 88.
Hello.
And also with us, I think it's been a little while since she's been here, but very happy to welcome back Kim McCann, a public health inspector. Welcome back, Kim.
Thank you.
It is good to have you both here. We are going to be tackling a very important issue that hits every single summer, green algae bloom. So Dr. Lee, why don't we start with you and just sort of give us a rundown. Tell us what these blue-green algae blooms are.
Yeah, so they are potentially harmful algal blooms. There's a whole family of them. The most common for us is the blue-green algae. They are a natural seasonal phenomenon, like you said, Bob. They do happen sometimes in the spring, certainly in the summer, depending on the year, of course, with the weather. They may be more or less common. They are blooms that happen in our lakes, rivers, ponds, and other bodies of water. Most of these blooms are harmless to human health, mostly harmless. They smell very bad sometimes, but there are some blooms that also contain toxins, and those can be very directly harmful. So the blooms are common in shallow, warm, and slow-moving water, and it can be related to increased phosphorus and nitrogen from things like agricultural runoff or sewage or other things where those elements are present. With our changing climates, bodies of water that didn't used to have blooms may be starting to get them now, and we are getting reports of that from people in our region. So despite their name, blue-green algae can be green or blue, but also yellow and sometimes even red. It can look foamy. It can look like a distinct layer on top of the water, sometimes described as a paint-like layer on top of the water. And the presence of these blooms and the toxins can really only be confirmed through a lab test. Especially the toxins, you can't tell that the toxins are there by taste or smell or any specific sense that we have as people. And so we do recommend taking a cautious approach if you think that there may be a bloom. And certainly if you see the bloom or can sense the bloom, then assume that the toxins are present. When the toxins are released, they can cause skin irritation if you're encountering the toxins through your skin, if you're touching it or bathing in it. It can cause nausea and vomiting if you're swallowing it. And in higher concentrations, it can cause liver problems as well.
Well, I mean, you've touched on a couple things there, but let's go a little bit deeper, and maybe you can tell us, give us a few more reasons why these algal blooms are dangerous to people.
Yeah, so in particular, if you use the surface water, which is the, if you have a well, then these blooms are not going into the deep water tables, but really it's the surface water. If you're using it for recreation or you use it actually for your drinking water, then it is important to be familiar with these algal blooms, know what they look like, know how to detect them, so that you can make informed decisions on when to avoid contact with that water. These blooms do degrade with time, but unfortunately, sometimes the toxin can persist even after the bloom has degraded. And so the toxin, what it is it's in the algal cell. And then when it's released, depending on the flow of water in that particular body of water, it can go in different areas that may not have the evident bloom itself. The toxin does eventually get diluted in the body of water because it is a water-soluble compound, but that may take some time, and depending on the size and type of bloom, the toxin can be quite concentrated. Skin irritation is the first sign, typically, that there is a significant level of toxin in the water. So if that happens, then don't go into the water, come out of the water and bathe. The trouble sometimes is that if you use the water for drinking, you're not going to get that skin irritation per se, right? Because it'll go straight into your GI tract. And certainly, if the water is moving well, algal bloom and its toxins do clear up in a couple of days. And then, of course, if you have another bloom, if there's a new bloom, then you have further problems. So it can come and go. And so that's why it's so important to have you yourself understand what to look out for so that you know what to do.
So, Kim, Dr. Lee talked briefly about the drinking water part of it. If it can do this to us externally, maybe you can tell us about some of the effects that it can have internally, as it does affect our drinking water.
It certainly can affect our drinking water. And like Dr. Lee had said, it can cause some liver issues if the concentration is really high and we are consuming a large amount of it. The one thing to remember is that surface water never is safe to drink without being effectively treated. The important thing to remember, though, is things like our typical precautions that we would take with regular surface water. If you're boiling your water or using chlorine or ultraviolet lights to treat your water, that's great for things such as bacteria and viruses and, protozoa that may be found in surface water, but it doesn't actually remove toxins or even other chemicals that may be in lake water or in river water. We have to remember that these surfaces are open to the environment. We're using them for recreational purposes. So there is a lot of contaminants in our bodies of water. So it's really important to contact a water treatment company to make sure that you are using the proper filtration, if you do have a treatment system such as chlorination or ultraviolet light on your surface water intakes. And the toxins are released from blue-green algae as these algae cells actually break down. And again, that's why things like boiling and chlorination doesn't really work. So the most important thing is if you are taking water, drinking water from an open water source such as a lake or a river, do make sure that you are consulting a water treatment company to make sure that you do have proper filtration and a proper treatment system on that water.
And if you can, if you're going camping or whatever, and you can bring your own water in. There's a few different ways that you can do that. Like drinking water, I'm talking about here. Like, and I'm not talking about bringing in dozens and dozens of water bottles, but they have the nice collapsible, diaphragms that you can throw in the trunk and bring in. And, hey, I've even seen people hang them on trees so they get warm so they can have a nice hot shower. I mean, that's glamping as far as I'm
Yeah,
concerned.
that's right. But the and you know it's and there's the camping aspect, but there's also the cottage aspect too. So, if you many of the cottages in the area do use surface water as their drinking water source. So, if you do have a well at home, it would be best to bring that source of water because, even when you're doing things like boiling your potatoes or boiling rice or pasta, although you may think that you're killing or removing some of the contaminants, you're not removing all of the contaminants because chemicals and toxins tend to concentrate when being boiled, and it doesn't necessarily remove them. So if you do have the ability to bring an alternate source of water, that's probably the safest.
Are things like on the tap filters, you can get some pretty expensive, nice ones for a kitchen sink or whatever. Are those effective at removing the algal blooms from our drinking water?
That's a really good question. There are a variety of filters, like you said, that can go. We call them point source filters, and that's a really great question. But I think I think you would have to look at the quality of the product. So again, I would refer people if they're considering something like that, do check with a water treatment company because they could provide the best advice on that for that answer.
Absolutely. Always do your research, right? And
Yeah, 100%.
couldn't agree with you more. Dr. Lee, when would you recommend avoiding using the water for recreational purposes or fishing? And we bring this up You know, as a parent with a young person, it's always nice to see them get in the water, get away from the tablets and that sort of thing, and get physically active at the same time. So I'm sure that there are many people who would really like to know the answer to this one.
Yeah, absolutely. And that is very much the message as well, right? Like, is that having activities in the water by their nature are physical activities. That's really important. But with many things in life, there's risks to recreation and water, just like there's risks to all sorts of things that we do. And the response that we're encouraging is simply to know what to do, what those risks are, how to mitigate them. And so the very top thing is, if you see an algal bloom, don't go into the water. That's, I cannot emphasize that enough. I think when there is an obvious algal bloom, I think most people would be very hesitant to go into the water anyway, but just emphasizing that particular message. And as a reminder as well, pets are also affected by the toxins from these algae, and so they should not go into the water either. Be careful about, if you're fishing, be careful about eating fish that you catch in water where there's a harmful algal bloom. For one, there may be sort of algae clinging to the skin of the fish. And so that's one element of potential risk or exposure. The other is that these toxins are concentrated in the liver, so including fish livers, and so it's important to avoid eating the internal organs of any fish caught in the area that's affected by harmful algae. It's also important to remember, just as an aside, because, you know, public health, we want to keep in mind all the other exposures that we might have on a nice beach day. So sunscreen, life jackets, lots of water, those are also important elements. And then also keeping in mind that even when you don't have algal blooms, there are, like Kim was saying, there are other contaminants in the water. There's bacteria, other microbes, and that can affect health as well. So all of those things make it important not to swallow the water. And young children are more likely to swallow water when they're out at the beach or in the water. So it's important to watch them carefully when they're playing or swimming. And that's also important for drowning prevention as well. We do post information about beach closures based on lab results for bacteria. And occasionally there is testing for harmful algae as well. It's important to keep in mind, though, that these lab tests only tell us information about that particular water sample when we took it in that particular moment in time. And so if there are toxins from algae, those tests can take several weeks to perform and get results from. And even the bacterial testing can take several days. And so, you know, you can get the information, and we might have warnings or closures for beaches, but the best way to ensure that water is safe for recreation is to use your senses. So mm-hmm. if the water is scummy, foamy, or discolored, it may be a blue-green algae bloom, so avoid going into the water. If the water smells like sewage or smells bad, it can be contaminated with bacteria as well. And certainly these are situations to not go into the water. Pick another day, unfortunately.
Pick another day. You know, hopefully the next day will be better. Lanark County's like that, right?
Yeah. It can, or another beach, right?
Or another it's beach. There you go, for sure. And, you know, as you mentioned, it certainly these beach reports and so on, we present them here on Lake 88 as well, and you can get them on healthunit.org. So, Kim, what else should we know about these algal blooms before I let you go?
Yeah. So a lot of our algal blooms are actually reported by people who live on the lake or on a river, or have a cottage on the lake and on a river. So just to add to what Dr. Lee was saying there too, you know, take a look at your own waterfront. If you're seeing any evidence of of algae, then just avoid swimming. But don't forget, it's not necessarily going to be there forever. Algae blooms will eventually dilute themselves into the water. If you have a property that has fast flowing water, it's more likely to dilute into the actual surface water more quickly. So just, I think the most important thing is like Dr. Lee said, use your senses, use your eyes, use your nose. And if you're seeing any scummy, foamy, foul smelling, then again, that's not the time to go swimming or to go fishing. We do have to remember that algae does exist in nature, and there's all types of algaes that we do have in our lakes, and not all of them are dangerous. But you know, algae can also trap, if when they are in bloom, can also trap more bacteria as well. So I think it's just really important to be to use your senses and to take a look at the water that you're swimming in before you do go ahead and swim. You know, and we can do our part too by reducing these algae blooms. So algae is there because of the nutrients that we're putting into our surface water. So we want to make sure that if we're using fertilizers, that we're not inadvertently putting them into the water. If there's agriculture around, they can take precautions, keeping their cattle, for example, a certain number of meters away from surface water. If you're on a septic tank, holding tank, or you have a septic system, if you're on lake property or riverfront property, or if you're on an island, make sure that the system is working well and that that extra nutrient isn't going into the actual surface or body of water. Skin irritation is often the first sign that there might be some toxins in the water. So if this occurs, it is important that you don't go swimming in that water. Let the water clear out. Again, use your senses. If it's looking nice and clear and it's flowing well, then that would be the better time to go swimming off your lakefront property versus during a time that there is a bloom.
Okay, we just have about a minute left here. So Kim, if you do see an algal bloom, what should you be doing?
Yeah, so it's actually the Ministry of the Environment who is the lead agency for investigating algae blooms. So if you do suspect one, it's important to call their Spills Action Center, and they can be reached at 1-800-268-6060, and you can report that bloom to them. Take pictures if you can. You know, the thing about blooms is here one day, gone tomorrow. So it is important to take pictures so that the Ministry of the Environment officer who's investigating can see what you actually saw and can help make a determination. They'll also take some water samples at the site too to see if indeed there is a toxin present. But like Dr. Lee said, it can actually take weeks to get those results back.
Are there many calls that you know of? I know they're going to the ministry, but do you get many calls?
We do. This year, we're just kind of getting into the start of algae season where we start to see the blooms. We tend to see them between now and the end of October, tend to be the most common or frequent months that we actually get those calls. So usually if we get the calls, we'll refer them on to the Spills Action Center so that it can be reported.
And Dr. Lee, final word to you. If somebody would like to get some more information, how would they go about doing so? I have a hunch on how they would do that.
Yes. Let me tell you about our website, healthunit.org, or feel free to call us. We have lots of information. On our website, we have a recreational water page that has information about blue-green algae. You can also find us on Facebook and Twitter for all sorts of public health updates. We're always keen to connect with people, live and play in our communities.
Excellent. Well, Dr. Lee, always a pleasure. We look forward to speaking with you again next week.
Absolutely.
And Kim McCann, Public Health Inspector, you're always welcome here. It's been a joy speaking with you again.
Oh, thank you.
I'm Bob Perot. Thanks so much for listening. Have a wonderful afternoon.